And welcome to Calvary Chapel Palm Desert and our Wednesday evening service. We're very glad you're here. And if you're visiting us here on the website, a special welcome to you. This is as new for us as it is for you, so we're very glad that you're all here. Let's bring our hearts to the Lord as we prepare for worship and to hear His Word taught. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this place that we can come and that we can put Your Word out there to the world in this way. What a blessing that all Your people can come just as before and be here to lift our voices up in praise to You and to hear Your Word taught so that our minds can learn and our hearts can rejoice. Thank You in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation. This is my story. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my desire to honor you, Lord, with all my heart I worship you. All I have within me I give. This is my desire to honor you, Lord, with all my heart I worship you. Lord, have your way in me.
have your way in us tonight. This is our desire, to honor you, to adore you, to praise you, and to hear your word preached. In Jesus' name, thank you. Amen.
Amen. Welcome to Calvary Chapel Palm Desert to our Wednesday evening service. You'll notice 6 o'clock with our new time change, and we are delighted, we are blessed to have you join us online. It's such a privilege, such an honor that even in spite of everything that's taking place right now, that we can still hear your word, we can still come to you. We're going to be in Psalm 30 this evening, and we're going to take a look at what Psalm 30 has for us to bring us some comfort and some hope in this time. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this time that we have together to study your word, to hear from you, God. And Lord, we can do none of this apart from your spirit. We can do none of this apart from your precious word, which is truth. So as we look into your word, Lord, speak to our hearts this evening. Encourage us, Lord. Strengthen us in our faith. And Lord, for those who are listening, looking for hope, God, bring hope. Have your way in our hearts as we sit at your feet, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Again, we're going to be in Psalm 30. So if you have your Bibles, open them up, Psalm 30. You'll see at the top of the psalm, in the dark writing, if you have a New King James Version, it says, the blessedness of answered prayer. And one of the things we want to be aware of is when God answers prayer, it's not always answered in a way that we perceive it should be, praise God. But God does answer prayer. He always answers prayer. He answers with yeses. He answers with noes. He answers at times, wait. But I believe right now in our nation and throughout the world, God is answering a massive amount of prayers. Families are together like never before. We're getting a chance to know our neighbors who we've never met. We're getting opportunities to share the gospel like never before. As people are hurting and they're looking for hope. You know, I used to go to stores, gas stations, and I would say 1 out of 10 would be receptive to the gospel. But in this, over this last few weeks, I've noticed that has flipped completely, where I would say easily 9 out of 10 people that I come into contact with and talk to about Jesus, they are receptive, they are open. It's been said, I've seen it on Facebook, that the church is not empty, it's just been deployed. And I pray that that's the case for all of us as Christians. Do not hide your light under a basket in these times. The world is searching for hope. And we have the answer right here. We have the hope that the world is searching for. Let's read Psalm 30. Verse 1, I will extol you, O Lord, for you have lifted me up and have not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried out to you, and you healed me. O Lord, you brought my soul up from the grave, and you have kept me alive that I should not go down to the pit. Sing praise to the Lord, you saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holy name. For his anger is but for a moment, his favor is for life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Now in my prosperity I said, I shall never be moved. Lord, by your favor you have made my mountain stand strong. You hid your face and I was troubled. I cried out to you, O Lord, and to the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it declare your truth? Hear, O Lord, and have mercy on me. Lord, be my helper. You have turned from me my mourning into dancing. You have put off my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness, to the end that my glory may sing praise to you and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give thanks to you forever. Again, this is a psalm where David is speaking of the blessedness of a God who answers prayer. The security and the hope we find in knowing that we have a God who answers prayer. He hears us. Through the trials, through the tribulations, through the troubles in life, we can call out to the one who hears us. And there have been many who have been searching in different areas, different religions, trying to find some hope, trying to find something that would relate to them or relay to them that they're listening. But God makes it very clear, false idols are dumb. They have ears, but they cannot hear. They have a mouth, but they cannot speak. They're inanimate objects. But the Lord God hears our prayers. He hears everything. And not only does He hear our prayers, He responds to those prayers that we have. He responds. He doesn't leave us in the dark. He doesn't leave us wondering, where are you, God? He's with us. In verse 1, David said, I will extol you, O Lord, for you have lifted me up. The word extol in Hebrew is room, and it means to exalt, to raise up, to promote, to praise. Notice that David declares, I will praise you. I will extol you, O Lord, for you have lifted me up. Let me remind you of this if you're watching as a believer. Do you remember when God lifted you up? Do you remember when you cried out and He saved you? He pulled you up out of the pit. The same God is in charge today. The same God who saved me 12 years ago is the same God who sits on the throne today. The same God who lifted me out of my pit and lifted you out of your pit is still in charge today. You have lifted me up. Psalm 40, verse 2 says this. David says, He, God, lifted me out of the pit of despair, out of the mud and the mire. He set my feet on solid ground and steadied me as I walked along. David also said in Psalm 3, verse 3, he said, You, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory, and the one who lifts up my head. He is still the lifter of our head. He is still the lifter of our countenance. He lifts us up. And David said, I will extol you. David wasn't basing this off of feeling or emotion. He was declaring, he was purposing, no matter what's going on in his life, I will praise you. And how important it is for us as believers, no matter what's happening in our life, no matter what the turmoil is we're going through, or the trial or the fire or the storm, that we praise Him. We purpose in our hearts, we make it a purpose to diligently praise Him. Because no matter what's happening in the circumstances around us, God is the same. He remains faithful. He does not change. So David declared, I will praise you, O Lord, for you have lifted me up. He goes on to say, and have not let my foes rejoice over me. He also shows the favor of God here. Even in spite of the enemy working hard right now, God is still giving us favor against our enemies. So he speaks of the favor of God, that even in the midst of affliction, which David is facing, he also recognized God's favor in his life. And we are favored by God. Listen, Jesus paid far too great a price for you and for me to just leave us alone, to just stop showing us his favor, stop showing us his hand. That is not the character of God. But the enemy would whisper that into your ears. As he did with Eve in the garden, did God indeed say? That's from the enemy. God is still showing us favor. Look around what's happening, church. Look at all the favor God is showing. He's uniting families. He's bringing families together to pray, to seek the Lord. He's causing us to be more bold in our faith when we share with others. He is bringing the lost and the hurting literally to our doorsteps. And we've prayed that over the years. Men's prayer, ladies' prayer, prayer groups all over the nation, all over the world. God, give us boldness. Lord, bring someone into my path to minister to. Well, the doors are open. He has opened that platform in such a way as we have never seen, as our parents have never seen, as our grandparents have never seen, as our great-great-grandparents have never seen. He has opened a platform that is worldwide for the world to turn and look to him. We need to take advantage of this time. Verse 2 and 3, he goes on to say, O Lord my God, I cried out to you, and you healed me. O Lord, you brought my soul up from the grave. You have kept me alive that I should not go down to the pit. You brought my soul up from the grave, David said. And I'm reminded as we're reading this, you know, there were two things that Jesus conquered on that cross. He conquered sin, he paid the sin debt in full, and he conquered death. And he did it so that we could have life in him. John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus speaking, he says, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. Jesus says, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. And Jesus came to save our souls from death, eternal separation from God, to make us alive in him. In Christ is life. And I love how David said this. He says, you brought my soul up from the grave. You have kept me alive that I should not go down to the pit. Think about this, church. Before we were saved, there was plenty of opportunities in my life, and I'm sure in yours, where God could have just removed us, allowed us to perish without him. But he kept us alive. He kept us alive so that he could pull our soul from the grave, death, separation from him. And if you're watching this evening, and you're searching for hope right now, let me tell you this. God has kept you alive because his desire is to pull your soul from the pit, to save you from the death. Jesus conquered sin and death on the cross for us. And he has kept us alive. God is faithful. He goes on to say in verse 4, he says, sing praise to the Lord, you saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holy name. Sing praise to the Lord, give thanks. Question, are we remaining faithful in this time in our thanksgiving? Are we remembering to give God thanks? I'll tell you what, as for me and my household, we are giving thanks for our beds, our pillow, our food, our shelter, gas in the car, food on the table, the very breath we breathe. All of this is a gift from God. And it should cause us all to be thankful and remain thankful. At the remembrance of his holy name, he says. Again, going back, has not God been faithful to you? Speaking to the believer, has he not been faithful? You know, oftentimes when we see words like remember or remembrance, it's because God knows that we tend to easily forget. Sheep are prone to forget. And we are prone to forget the goodness and the faithfulness of God at times. So when God does amazing things in your life, when he answers prayer, when he does just amazing supernatural things in your life, when he provides for you, when he answers prayer, it's important to remember those things so that when our faith is tested, and it will be, we can remember the goodness of God. We can remember his faithfulness, and it helps to carry us through the season that we're in. Give thanks at the remembrance of his holy name. Remember what he's done. He goes on to say, Deuteronomy 31 verse 6 says, to be strong and of good courage, do not fear nor be afraid, for the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. We need to remember this faithfulness of God. And remember that Jesus paid far too great a price to just turn around and leave you, to leave me. Our God is faithful. And he will never leave you or forsake you. Yet there are many who are walking around today wondering, God, where are you at? Where are you in the midst of this? He's everywhere. He's working in everything. He's drawing those who are lost and searching. He's drawing them to himself. In verse 5, he says, for his anger is but for a moment. His favor, there's that word again, favor is for life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. God is faithful to get us through the trials, the testing. And those trials and those testings that we go through, they are crucial to our walk with the Lord. They are so important in our faith, to build our faith up, to strengthen our faith. Yes, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Folks, morning is coming. It's right around the corner. God's joy, it's right around the corner. Hold on. He hasn't left us. He hasn't forsaken us. He is very present and very much here and available. See, the weeping, the trials, the testing, all these things that happen, they're temporal. They're not going to last. But the favor of God is eternal. That's what he's declaring here. His favor is for life. Yes, we will have times of sorrow. We will have times of weeping. But joy comes in the morning. And morning is right around the corner, folks. In John chapter 16, verse 33, Jesus again says, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. For in the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. We will go through trials. We will go through tribulation. We're not above those things. We're not above going through trials. We're not above going through heartache. We're not above going through storms. We're not above going through testing. Again, when we go through those things, we must always be reminded and be aware that God is with us through those trials, through those storms, through the testing. He is with us. He's with us through the trials, the testing, the fires, the storms, you name it. God is with us. Remember in Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they were in the fiery furnace, right? All of a sudden, they looked in the furnace, there were four, not three, four. And the fourth looked like the Son of God. And they came out of that furnace unburned, did not even singe one hair, did not smell like smoke, because God was with them. It was the Apostle Paul who declared, after going through shipwrecks, after going through many trials, he declared this. He said, "But the Lord stood with me." He stood with me. He's standing with you today. He's not going to leave you. He's with you. And he's going to get us through this season. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10 says, "And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you." Morning is right around the corner. And God's promise is that when we get through the season, when we get through the difficulty, when we get through the trial, when we get through the storm, his promise in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10, is that he will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish us. Hope is here. It's not on the way. Hope is here. And his name is Jesus. And in him we have everything we need. Everything we need. Morning is right around the corner. In verse 6, he changes the tone of this psalm, changes a little bit. He declares a bit of repentance here. He says, "Now in my prosperity I said, I shall never be moved. Lord, by your favor you have made my mountain stand strong. You hid your face and I was troubled." Boy, there's always a very real and present danger when we place our trust in prosperity, in the good times. We start to get comfortable. We start to neglect our time with God. We start to rely on our own resources rather than be dependent on his. And so there is a very real, very dangerous place that we can fall into in prosperity. Again, praise God for what he's doing right now in our country. He is making many right now come to a place where they realize that their prosperity is not going to save them. Only Jesus Christ can save us. And he died a brutal death on the cross, and he was not murdered. He was a sacrifice. He willingly became a sacrifice for us when he died on the cross. Morning is right around the corner. We need to trust in the Lord in these times. Good times, bad times, all those things. We need to be found busy praising, praying, and worshiping God. Because it's very easy to fall into that trap of feeling a sense of security in our prosperity. We can find ourselves saying in our hearts, "I shall never be moved." Yeah, we may not say that, but when we are placing our dependence and our trust in things rather than God, then that's exactly what we're telling him. "I got this, Lord." Right now is a good time for us to examine our hearts and recognize this. We have nothing. We have nothing. In and of ourselves, we have nothing. Nothing to hold on to, nothing to cling to. In Christ, we have everything. We have our hope. We have restoration. We have healing. We have comfort. We have a God who hears us when we pray, when we cry out. And we have a God who responds to us. He makes himself known to those who want to know him. But do you want to know him? Are you ready to know him? Because this God we serve is amazing. This God that we serve is truly indescribable. His love is beyond measure. His grace is beyond comprehension. His mercy is beyond anything we can fathom. And he pours it out freely to those who are seeking him and those who desire to know him. But that's the question. Do you desire to know him? You know, it's important when things are going good. It's a lesson here. When things are going good, when there is prosperity, we should even be all the more diligent in our praying, our fasting, our preparing our hearts in worship and in the Word of God. It's even more so, I think, important in those times. In Ezra chapter 8, Ezra called the people to fast and pray as they were traveling on a journey towards Jerusalem. He called the people to fast and pray, even though things were going well at the time. Was there something happening at the time that he said, let's gather and pray? No. In fact, things were going incredibly well. But Ezra knew this. He knew that in the blink of an eye, things can change. Life can change. Our pastor has always reminded me, he's always said, life subject to change. I think we're seeing that right now. We're seeing a change. It's one that I don't believe any of us thought we'd see, not like this. But the God who we serve, he hasn't changed. Nope. He's still the faithful, loving, caring, merciful, gracious God who saved us and is continuing to hold us up. No shock. Verse 8 through 10, David now cries out, I cried out to you, Lord, and to the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it declare your truth? Hear, O Lord, and have mercy on me. Lord, be my helper. It's a cry of brokenness here from David. Again, God hears the cries of brokenness. He hears them. Things are tough, Lord, have mercy on me. When we cry out to the Lord in brokenness and repentance, that's when the healing takes place. We need to come to the place we recognize we can do nothing in our own merit and in our own strength. We got to come to the Lord in brokenness, in repentance, so the healing can take place. And many of us now, many of you, are finding yourselves being stripped down to a place where you realize the only one we can turn to is the Lord. And that's the best place for a believer to be. He's stripping down all the false idols, the things that took so much of our time every day. Television, media, sports, all these things that were consuming our time, God has stripped them down and reduced everything down to a place where we can just look to the Lord and say, I see you, Lord. Now I see you. Now I hear you. He's removing all the fuzz, all the noise. Psalm 34:18 tells us that the Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit. Yeah. Feeling brokenhearted right now, God is near you right now. I love how the NLT version described this verse. It said, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and He rescues those whose spirits are crushed. If you're in a place where you're feeling brokenhearted and you're feeling your spirit is crushed, this is the time you want to cry out to the Lord. Because He loves you. And He wants to show Himself strong on your behalf. Because our God is faithful. He is faithful and He's true in all His promises. Yes, David cried out, what profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it declare your truth? Help, Lord. Hear, O Lord, and have mercy on me. Lord, be my helper. I love that verse. I find myself praying that prayer more often now. How about you? Have mercy on me, Lord. Have mercy on me. Here's what comes after we cry out. Verse 11 and 12. You have turned for me my mourning into dancing. You have put off my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness. To the end that my glory may sing praise to you and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks to you forever. You turned my mourning into dancing, Lord. You clothed me with gladness, Lord. Listen, His joy will come in the morning. Morning is right around the corner. 1 Peter 5:10 again. I'm going to share this scripture. Maybe it makes a little more sense now. After you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to His eternal glory in Christ, will Himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. There are four attributes we see in this beautiful psalm. Four wonderful attributes of God here. First, verses 1 through 3, we see that He brings us from death to life. Second, He turns night into morning, darkness to light. Verse 4 and 5. Third, He changes our hearts, takes us from pride to humility. Verse 6 through 10. And then verse 11 and 12, He turns our mourning to rejoicing. Again, hope is not on the way, hope is here. Very present and very real and very much here is Jesus. And He is beckoning, He's calling, He's crying out, come to me, all ye who are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He's calling all people to Himself because He loves you. He never stopped loving you. He's been waiting and waiting for you to turn to Him. And Joel chapter 2, verse 32 tells us, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So you're looking for hope in these times. And Jesus is waiting for you. Hope is here. It's a heart cry away. He's a heart cry away. Because whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God is waiting for you to cry out to Jesus. There is no specific prayer in the Bible that says you have to pray. It does declare that we need to believe in our heart and we need to confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ is the Lord, that God the Father raised Him from the dead. We do have to believe that in our heart, believe that Jesus went to the cross for our sins. Recognize our sin and ask God to forgive us and to cleanse us and to wash us and make us clean. The promise is we will be saved. You will find hope in that. So I want to invite you tonight. For those who are looking for hope, maybe you're a believer. Maybe you find yourself drifting from the Lord. Maybe you need to renew your devotion, recommit your life to the Lord. Maybe you need that hope right now. I want to invite you right now, in your living room, in your bedroom, wherever you're at, to accept the gift of eternal salvation in Jesus Christ and experience the restoration, the healing, the hope, and the mercy of Almighty God. You can have that right now. And so I want to invite you to pray a simple prayer with me. Right where you're at, stop what you're doing. Don't wait any longer. Right now is the time. Right now is your time for salvation. To come back to the Lord if you've drifted. So I invite you now, pray this prayer with me. Dear Lord Jesus, please forgive me for all of my sin. Thank you for going to the cross for me. And now, O Lord, I give my life to you. And I do this in Jesus' name as I surrender everything to you. Lord, help me to walk with you and close to you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you prayed that prayer with a sincere heart, the Bible makes it very clear that you are now a new creation in Christ. Yes, just like that. That's the God we serve. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 tells us, those who are in Christ are a new creation. All the old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. You are new in Christ. You are forgiven by God. Get into your word. Open up your Bible tonight, later on, whenever, right now. Open up to John. Read the Gospel of John. Reach out to your local church. Reach out to somebody who's a believer, who loves God's Word. Get discipled. Get plugged in. And find hope in God's beautiful promises, His truth, His Word. And He will strengthen you. He will establish you as He has promised. Father, we thank you for your Word this evening. Lord, we pray that you are blessed and that you are pleased as we, Lord, humbly ask, God, that you would use this platform to reach the lost, God. That you would, by your word and by your spirit, reach the hearts who are lost. We love you. We praise you. We adore you. And as David said, we extol you, O Lord. We raise you up. We praise your name. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you.